Under the Scope.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Under the Scope. We're just out of a movie. We're going to give you another review. This time we saw Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. With me is Carrie sitting in. Shane is parts unknown. We haven't heard from him in ages. Maybe you have, but I haven't.
I just saw
him. I think he had a dentist appointment. So, this is the sequel to 2005 movie Sin City, based off of the Frank Miller comic book series. 9 whole years it took to make a sequel. How do you feel about that?
That's a really long time.
The first film predates the inception of the scope, even. We started in 2006, so it's been a long time we've been waiting for the sequel. Returning to the cast, we've got Bruce Willis is back in, I guess, ghost form. Mm-hmm. Mickey Rourke is back. Jessica Alba is back. We have a different Dwight this time because Dwight changes faces. This time's James Brolin. I'm sorry, not James. Josh Brolin is playing. James would be his dad. Josh Brolin is Dwight. We've got a bunch of other people. Rosario. We've got Rosario Dawson as Gale. We have, holy cow, there's so many people. Oh, we can't have Michael Clark Duncan back as Minute, unfortunately. So stepping in for that role is Dennis Haysbert. Probably know him best as the president from 24 or from the Allstate commercials.
And don't forget Jamie Chung from The Real World San Diego.
Jamie Chung, is that where she's from?
Yes.
Okay, she fills the role of Miho because the previous actress was very pregnant at the time they filmed this, is what I read. So different Miho this time, not that it really matters. Powers Booth, he's Senator Rourke. What's his name?
That's his name.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a new role created just for this movie, not in the comic book. He plays a gambler character who's very, very lucky and has a interesting connection to our main bad guy, I guess. Eva Green, the titular dame to kill for. We can't forget Eva Green. So this is, if you're familiar at all with SimCity. Not SimCity, Sin City. Sin City would be the game where you create your own city.
Yes.
If you're familiar at all with the series of Sin City, there it's a gritty noir crime story. You know, you've got dames, you've got guys, you've got guns, you've got retro cars. It's a very the comic book is very black and white with very sparse appliques of color. You know, usually it's red, but sometimes you have other colors pop in. And this film follows the same aesthetic, although it brings it into the film world. So you've got human beings trying to recreate this black and white gritty world. And for whatever reason, well, probably for money, they went the 3D route this time. I don't know about you, but I thought the 3D was like meh. I took my glasses off a few times during the film just to, because they bother me.
Well, I don't like normal 3D, so I actually didn't mind this because it was kind of mild.
It was mild because it was probably both part of the conversion process and just the aesthetic of this comic book sort of flat look that you get in a lot of scenes.
The black and white translates differently.
I feel like in 2D this would be better just because of the source material and making it, everything is flat. I don't know. I didn't care for the 3D much, but it wasn't objectionable.
No.
So anyway, the story is sort of a bunch of little stories, and they're loosely connected. They're more connected through characters that sort of show up in the different storylines versus actual events being as any way connected. There's a main story where Dwight apparently has had a past affair with Eva Green's character. I think it was Ava.
Ava.
And she sort of gets him back under her thumb in a plot there, and then of course Marv has to figure into it. Marv is the big brutish character played by Mickey Rourke. You've got a side story with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's a gambler, and he ends up crossing paths with our Senator Rourke character, has some trouble befall him there. And then you've got Nancy, I think Nancy, played by Jessica Alba, Nancy Callahan. She's the dancer at Katie's, the saloon that figures heavily in the Sin City series. I think her story was also created for this movie. I could be wrong about that.
I don't remember from
I'm trying to remember, too. It's been, you know, so 15 years since I've read the original material. But anyway, so most of these stories are tales of revenge, violence. I mean, there's sort of a theme. Somebody has been done wrong, and payback is going to be given. in a harsh way, because it's Sin City. Things are harsh in Sin City. And if you have a love for your eyeballs, you probably will have to be cautious, because lots of eyeballs are going away in this
film. And your entire head.
Heads are gone.
There's a lot of
heads. There is a fixation with eyes being shot through, pulled out, or otherwise hurt in a way. So what did we think about this movie?
I liked it.
Did you like it? What did you like about it most?
I gotta try and think of what I like about it the most.
I'm a fan of the aesthetic.
I just like how it looks, yes.
It looks really, really cool. They do a good job of translating the Frank Miller art style to the screen. I thought they did a really good job in 2005, and this feels like more of the same, but progressed ahead 9 years.
Yeah, I liked the other movie, and I thought this one was, you know, very similar. I mean, I liked it for similar reasons.
I think it's impressive because a lot of this stuff is shot on green screen, and then they do all the post-processing to make it look black and white and really contrasty, and then bring a lot of the elements in there. And there is some CG animation with some cars and stuff like that stuff here, too. But it's amazing how, I mean, we've seen some films in the past where they've tried to integrate mostly people shot on green screen with synthetic environments, and they're not that successful, but they've gotten really, really good at it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how much of this stuff is, I'd be interested to see some making ofs to see how much is actual sets that they were on and how much was synthetic created after the fact. Because for the most part, it looks pretty seamless. I mean, it's very stylized.
It's very arty.
Yeah, it's very arty, very stylized.
I think it's, and all that violence in it looks, it doesn't seem to be, it's comic booky, so, and it's not blood everywhere. I think it would be really gory and gross if it was red, but
you occasionally get red blood. A lot of times, though, it's white and it's gushing, but it's not red, and I don't know if that's good or bad that you don't Yeah, you're right. If it were red, you'd be just completely revolted and not unhappy with it. But for some reason, if you just take all that color out and you just leave it like just a splash of white, it's
a different
funny
feel.
I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as like horrifically violent.
Even though heads are flying off,
it just feels different.
It does. It's different. I don't know how to. Yeah. You're right. I don't know how to explain it better either. For me, I thought the film was a little up and down. I think some of the storylines were more engaging than others.
That's really true.
I liked the first half of the Joseph Gordon-Levitt storyline better than the second half.
Yeah. They didn't finish it that well.
Yeah. I thought that if they had gone in a different direction with the Senator character and how his storyline gets resolved.
Yeah.
If that had been sort of a logical progression from how Joseph Gordon-Levitt's storyline had ended, I think it would have been more successful. But that they didn't go in the direction I thought they would. So for that, I'm a little disappointed. The Dwight storyline is makes up the bulk of the film, and it's interesting. I mean, you get the most characters in it.
I like that story.
It's fun, but everything's a variation on the same thing. You know, it's all revenge motivated, and in the end, we get this a similar sequence of events, both with the Dwight storyline and with the Nancy storyline, where it ends up becoming two people storming a house and taking out a bunch of bad guys.
Yeah.
So for me, that was kind of like, I feel like we're treading over ground that we've been through already.
All the rich people are the bad guys, and they have big mansions.
True. I mean, that's a theme. That's a theme in Frank Miller's Sin City, is that there's class disparity, and the rich people are corrupt and live in their gilded mansions, and the poor people live in the city, in a rundown part of the town where that they have created their own laws and police themselves.
People just die, and nobody really notices that much.
I wasn't very compelled by the Nancy storyline at all. I felt like maybe if it had come earlier in the film, I would have liked it more. But like I said, I felt like by the time we got through to her storyline,
I just didn't talk that much about it until the
end. Yeah,
like it didn't, throughout the movie, they didn't.
Yeah, and I felt like I said, it felt like we've already seen this story in this film. Why are we doing the same thing again? I mean, I guess it's fun to see Marv plow through a bunch of people.
I like Marv.
But how many times can you see that in one film? Yeah. I don't know.
He does it a lot.
He does.
He's in every storyline, pretty much.
He does. Yeah, I think he's in this movie a lot more than he was in the first. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like there's a lot of Marv in this one. Yeah.
It's entertaining, though.
It is entertaining. If you're not a fan of narration, your inner monologue, this is not the kind of film for you.
Right.
Most of the exposition happens in voiceover. It's inside characters' heads, so that's just the style. I mean, that's adapting the comic book to the screen, and sometimes you just got to do that. And I think it works.
It works for them
decently well, although it's very stilted and very noirish. And if you're not a fan of Frank Miller's writing, you're going to have some trouble with it. So, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just think it's good, and I don't not a comic book person. I don't know anything about Frank Miller except these two movies.
Okay.
And I think like the narration.
Yep.
Maybe I should see more movies like that. Maybe I like arty movies and I don't go to them very often. I don't know.
Well, it's good to know that someone who isn't familiar with anything beyond the film versions of these can still appreciate them and enjoy them. It's a testament to a decent translation. So with that, I think we should probably give this movie a score.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
So 2.75 stars.
Yes.
Not a bad film. I think it does, like I said, parts of it feel a little redundant maybe, but I think if you're a fan of the first one, definitely check this one out at theaters near you this Friday, August 22nd. Definitely rated R. There's some violence in there. Not for the kids.
And nudity.
So. And there's some nudity, yes. If you're a fan of Eva Green in any way, should probably check this movie out. She doesn't
look bad.
She doesn't look bad, and she's very confident in herself. Oh, yeah. So there. Hey, so thanks for checking us out. If you like what we do, you can like, comment, or subscribe, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.